Now, think you know who's going to win the presidential election in less than 2 months? Most polls have Joe Biden out in front, but President Trump's overall approval rating continues to improve. Whatever you think is going to happen, our guest says don't get too confident because this race is far from typical. He's come up with 7 factors that he says make the Trump-Biden contest practically impossible to predict. David Beiler is a data analyst and political columnist at The Washington Post. He focuses on elections, polling, demographics, and statistics. David, good to have you back on Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I'm not going to ask you who you think is going to win, because I'm guessing that you would sidestep that. But would you go as far as saying that this is the most unusual presidential race we've had in terms of everything that's going on?
Yeah, it's a pretty unusual one. I think there's a lot of meta level conditions surrounding the pandemic, surrounding sort of the protests that have been happening since the beginning of the summer, surrounding the economy and sort of the type of numbers that we're getting out of that, that make this contest pretty weird and pretty difficult to predict in sort of the conventional ways.
Well, you've laid out 7 reasons why this election is so hard to predict, and we have a link to that article over at WPR.org/Central Time. We'll see how many we can get to. Number one is fairly obvious, but important. It's been a long time, about 100 years, since we've had an election in the middle of a pandemic. What makes that such a big question mark for the election?
Right. Well, when you're analyzing elections and you're trying to forecast out what's going to happen, you usually use things that happen in past elections to sort of forecast outwards, right? We know what a recession typically does to an incumbent president's chances of winning, but we don't exactly know what a pandemic does. We know so far that people are unhappy with President Trump's performance on the pandemic. We know that's hurting him in the polls. What we don't know is, say, how much improvement in conditions and case counts and so on for COVID would lead to a boost in his chances. There's just a lot of question marks around sort of how to process this pandemic in sort of a forward-looking way.
One of the factors that you lay out is all of the protests going on this summer and continuing now into the fall, not just against police and racism, but also counter-protests supporting police, supporting President Trump. I think back to 1968, there were a whole lot of protests then too. What can we look to in history to try to see what impact these protests and counter-protests may have in November 2020?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the historical record because it's hard to exactly find an analog. In 1968, Richard Nixon, you know, sort of ran on a law and order platform that has some resemblances to what Donald Trump is doing right now. But Trump is the incumbent and Nixon was not in that year. So they're in this kind of weird flipped position. What we know so far is that voters tend to prefer Joe Biden's approach on issues of race and race relations. We know that the protests have probably damaged Trump because in the early going, Biden's lead increased somewhat. But there's a lot that we don't know, including sort of what the trajectory is around the protests after, you know, sort of what happened in Kenosha and the situation unfolding there. You saw people turn against the protesters a little bit. You saw sort of erosion in their numbers, or a little bit of erosion in the net favorability for Black Lives Matter. And so what we don't know is exactly how that evolves over the next 2 months, because it's been such an unprecedented in recent decades set of events.
And one of the things that I find really interesting is that the economy often plays a big part in how well an incumbent does. COVID-19 certainly has damaged the economy. Usually bad economies hurt the incumbent. But it does seem that President Trump is actually still running on the economy, on things that he says that he has done and promises of what he sees on the near horizon. How might this play out in 2020 elections?
So this is a tough one to gauge because Trump's economic approval is actually better than his approval on a number of issues. Oftentimes, the Real Clear Politics average puts it at roughly even, whereas his overall approval rating is pretty much underwater. The second wrinkle that makes the economy difficult to think about is that you have wild swings right now. You have the onset of a massive recession that really happened fast due to this pandemic and due to it happening and all of the countermeasures involved in sort of shutting shutting down and sort of trying to make sure that people don't get sick or die from it. So you have this kind of whiplash of closing of the country to, you know, fight the pandemic, and some reopening and some sort of fast recovery numbers. So if you're trying to peg, oh, X percent unemployment usually leads to a president winning or losing, I think it's a little bit harder. It's not impossible to get a read on the economy, but it's just a thornier problem than what you have in your garden variety election.
We're talking with David Byler right now. He is with The Washington Post, and we're talking about his article, Nobody Can Predict This Election, Here's Why. And this is not, this is actually not one of your 7 points, but in talking about that issue of the economy, I wonder how much how people have really chosen their media outlets and their information outlets and stick with what kind of confirms what they believe to be true about the world. I mean, that feels like it is more so in place now than it has been in other elections. What do you see that element as playing a role?
So I think that's exactly right. One interesting thing that happens when you line up the data for past presidents and say the 80s or the 90s, you saw a much stronger relationship between economic indicators and approval ratings. So you had, you know, if the economy went up under, say, Ronald Reagan and got better, then his approval rating went up. But what you start to see with Obama and Trump is that our political fights have become much more cultural. And so you'll see, you know, something like a massive pandemic-induced recession happen under Donald Trump's watch, and his approval rating only sort of moves a little bit. It still stays in that narrow band from roughly 38 to 45, where it always stays. And with Barack Obama as well, before Trump took office, his approval rating was remarkably steady, and you had economic conditions changing over the course of his term, but that didn't sort of take the poll numbers with it in the same way that it has for past presidencies. So this is a symptom of polarization, and it's another thing that really makes this election an interesting one.
And David, in our last 30 seconds, what are you going to be watching for between now and the November election day?
I'm going to watch specific events and seeing what actually drives the polls. So far, we've seen COVID and protests in sort of a large, long-term meta sense drive numbers. But really what happens is Trump needs to close the gap because Biden has a serious advantage. So I'm going to see if any events actually make a difference in those head-to-head poll numbers that are so important.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
David Byler is a data analyst and political columnist at The Washington Post. We talked with him about his recent piece on the unpredictability of the 2020 elections. You can find a link to that article over at WPR.org/Central Time. And also coming up on Thursday at 4 o'clock, we will be talking about 2020 polling. We'll get an update on how pollsters are trying to be more accurate this year than they were 4 years ago.